Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. My name is Cortland, and with me today is the one member of the Wall of Shame. It's Brandon. How you doing, Brandon?
Aw, of this two-person podcast, I'm on the Wall of Shame.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You're host of the month.
It's me. Yep, everything changed.
60 weeks going.
Everything changed when Goosebumps ended, and I got to do the notes again, Brandon. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy how that happens. So, Brandon, it's been a little while here. I haven't asked to see you. Like, what you doing? How's it going? How's everything in Australia?
Oh, it's just going so swell.
No more rain, I hope, right?
Nope. Probably droughts now. It's one or the other.
I feel like I would prefer droughts, because then all of your electronical devices don't have a chance to die, you know?
Yeah, just like you and
me.
All the other living things.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could just drink some water, no biggie, you know? I'll get a bottle of water. That's why they make them.
That is why they make
them. Specifically. Anything cool happened to you this week, Brandon?
Not that I can recall. No.
Oh, okay.
So, how about you, Cortland?
Yeah, I have a little story here, Brandon. So,
excellent.
I am in the process of getting a new house, okay? So, Kim's grandma passed away about a year ago, and we're going to be buying her house. And
what's the opposite of woo?
Aw? I don't know.
Aw.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. So we went to the bank to, like, submit an application to do a mortgage, right? Because, like, that's what you do. And everything's, you know, hunky-dory and all that. I have been bombarded with phone calls from companies that are like, we want to get you to, I don't know, have us lend you money so that you can pay our interest instead of anybody else. And it's been crazy, Brandon. Like, my phone goes off like 50 times a day because they pulled my credit. Jeez. And apparently that alerted everybody to cold call me for these quotes and stuff.
These flies smelled some hot shit.
I know. It's me. I'm the hot shit. It's ridiculous, Brandon. So yesterday, I decided, I was like, I'm hungry. I'm going to make a fucking feast, Brandon. I made a feast of, like, Chinese food. I made egg rolls and crab cheese and some orange chicken and stuff. I was like, I'm just going to fry everything, right? So I'm marinating this chicken. And I marinate my chicken in, like, a mixture of, like, cornstarch and water and flour and salt and pepper and all that stuff. And I got one of the calls while I was, like, moving the chicken around in this goo. And so I answer the call. I set the phone down right next to the bowl that I was marinating the chicken in. And I didn't say anything. I just started glooping the chicken around. So it was making all those weird, like, gross noises. It reminded me of Jake
Squelchy
the Snake.
Squelchy noises, yeah.
Exactly. Yep. So the guy, like, he didn't say anything for, like, 2 seconds. And he's like, hey, Cortland, blah, blah, blah. We're going to get you a good deal. And I'm just sitting there, like, you know, slapping chicken around. Guy was like, hello, Cortland? So
he's got a story to tell.
Entertainment for the week. Making lives miserable here, Brandon. That's what I do.
Well, you're making me very happy right now.
It was perfect. I was like, call me while I'm rotating chicken and goo. I don't think so.
And how long did he stay on the line for?
Dude, it was like 45 seconds.
Wow. That's a long time.
I know. It was so stupid.
Like, going through his mind must have been like, okay, what's going on here? And then, like, rationalizing it and like, all right. He'll be done stirring that chicken soon, and then he'll be ready to talk.
Most of the time, I just answer them and hang up, because it's faster than, like, waiting for them to give up. Yes. And this time, I was like, you know what? He can listen to the gooey, like, squelching chicken. It was so gross. It was perfect. So that's what I did this week, Brandon.
That's amazing.
I know, right?
That would be the highlight of anyone's week.
Oh, man, Brandon. We got an episode of Tales from the Crypt to talk about. You want to get going on this one?
Yeah. Let's talk about this.
Okay. Well, we just got done watching Tales from the Crypt Season 5, Episode 8, Brandon. It was well-cooked hams. What'd you think of some well-cooked hams, Brandon?
Spoilers for the end of this podcast, but why the fuck is this episode called Well-Cooked Hams?
Dude, I don't know. What does the Well-Cooked Hams even mean? Is it something funny?
Like, the entire episode, I was like, all right, this is the scene where a character is going to be like, oh, this is a bunch of well-cooked hams.
No.
There was no title drop, and, like, even symbolically, I don't really get it. Like, one of the characters, I guess you could describe as kind of hammy, but...
I guess.
That's a stretch. That is a real stretch.
You know, I'm just Googling it right now, and the only answers I can get are this episode from the crib. So
yeah, like, it's not a famous idiom or something. This is just a ridiculous name.
Yeah, they were just, like, throwing shit at the dartboard, and they're like, we haven't used well-cooked hams yet. And the guys were like, do it. This is what this one's called.
They came up with the title first, and then were like, all right, so what would well-cooked hams be about? Ah, I got it. Something that has nothing to do with any of that.
Magicians, duh. The audiences will love it. Yeah, I don't know. I would think if you're going to name an episode well-cooked hams, it should be about food, right? Like, am I stupid? Do people even smoke it? No. People cook hams. People cook them, and then they eat them.
They do.
I would have been fine with another, like, food-related episode, but as long as it's not food for thought, though. I don't really want that again.
Pass.
Besides the name, though, did you enjoy the episode, Brandon?
This episode was solid.
I think so, too.
Yeah. It's an improvement over last week, I'd say.
That's exactly what I wanted to say, Brandon. It's not House of Horrors, so it's a little bit better. A little better.
Yeah. The best thing you can say about this is that it's better than House of Horrors.
Mm-hmm. There's more action involved. There's less talking. There's less characters. So automatically, like, higher echelon of episodes here, Brandon. Did it make you hungry for ham?
No.
Me neither.
I didn't think about ham at all while watching this episode.
I will say, now there's this thing in this episode called the Box of Death. That is the, like, magic trick that is front and center in this episode. Sure, and sure. Last week you were like, well, there's a picture of, like, a coffin or something that almost looks like a ham. And while I still didn't, like, associate it with hams, I just couldn't stop thinking of that every time the Box of Death was on my screen. I was like, yeah, that's the well-cooked ham.
It's kind of hammy.
Yeah, a little hammy. Brandon, you want to start just roasting this episode, getting into it, getting into the good stuff, cutting that ham?
Yeah.
All right, I got my electric knife. It's Easter Sunday. Let's get some ham going.
All right.
Our episode starts up, and we're looking at, like, a recording reel, I think. It took me a long time to think of what this was called. We see it in motion, and it plays the voice of a man with a French accent saying, "Quelle es-tu?" I don't know how to do a French accent, Brandon. I'm not going to try. There's a lot of accents in this episode, okay, that are fake.
Oh.
I'll try a little bit. I'll embarrass myself just a touch. Please,
because I was watching this. Sometimes I watch an episode, and I hear a character talk, and I'm just like, oh, man, I cannot wait to hear Cortland.
I know you do this little voice. Rascal. You rapscallion, you. I can't wait for Cortland to embarrass himself in front of our audience.
No, no, we all
have it out to get me. You want to take my spot as supreme person not on the wall of shame, don't you?
Look, I tried to take the throne when we watched Goosebumps, but you took it back.
I snatched it away from you, Brandon. I said, no more of you. My turn to do these notes for 2 hours a week. Then the voice says, I tried to put these in phonetically, so ou à la finette? No, I don't know. It says something. It's French. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Mm-hmm. And French. We came back to see Crypti in a stereotypical French outfit, complete with beret, fake mustache, an ascot, and a black and white striped shirt, Brandon.
I don't know why that's, like, the go-to French outfit, but it is.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It is.
He says, bou à la finette. I don't know. Then he giggles because... I guess his French lessons are over. And he notices saying, bonsoir, kiddies. I was just in the middle of my French lessons. Your pal, Zikrip Kipa, has decided to see La Manger. I don't know. Imagine me, in a day scary, sitting in a nice little cafe on the Rot Bank, sipping a glass of Chablis, while I write ghost cards home to all my friends. How many friends do you think he has? Probably so many.
Everyone he associates with seems to be either a skeleton or a dead body.
Or, like, soon to be a dead body, yeah.
Yeah, someone he kills. So I'm sure he has tons of friends if you count all the dead bodies.
I guess so. Then he gets serious, saying, or I could stay home and tell you tonight's tale. It concerns an ambitious young magician who wants to expand his gore horizons. two. Wait, why did I say two? Whatever. And a tasteless trick I call well-cooked hams for some fucking reason.
Yeah, why do you call it Crypt Keeper?
Crypt Keeper, I'm going to write a postcard to you and say, what were you thinking? You know what? Honestly, Bran, if we ever got to interview somebody that was like a producer for Tales from the Crypt, I think that would be my main question. It's like, all right, enough of, like, I don't care. Why did you call it well-cooked hams?
Yeah. If I got the answer to that, I'd be good. We could end the interview there.
Right. That's kind of like one of those questions, like peak questions of humanity. It's like, why do we exist? Why is it called well-cooked hams? Like, same thing. We zoom into the picture for this episode, and in the foreground, we have a woman in like a magician's assistant outfit who looks pretty concerned because behind her is a man in a coffin that's getting stabbed by like four swords that are plunging through the coffin and into him. Also, there's like a stink wave coming off of his head, which probably stinks. Gross.
Yeah, that's the most concerning part, probably. She's not really concerned about the swords, but man, he looks stinky.
Yeah, he probably reeks, Brandon. Ugh, probably hasn't taken a shower in like a whole weekend.
Disgusting.
Sick. We fade into the episode, and now we're looking at a top hat on a small little pedestal while some dramatic, kind of like early 1900s music starts playing, because this is kind of a period piece, Brandon.
Yeah, this is another one where it doesn't immediately go like, oh, California, 1987, but you just see the people and you're just like, okay.
Mm-hmm. The outfits that they have in this episode, really cool. Like, there's spoilers a bit, like, there's these shows, there's these magic shows, and they have a crowd of people, and everybody is dressed in, like, 1918, you know, clothing, and it looks great. Like, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm old now, but I really appreciate, like, costume designs these days.
Yeah, it's because you're old.
Oh, man. Yeah, because if, like, I saw this when I was, like, 15, I'd be like, magicians, you know? And now I'm like, people in the audience with big, huge floppy hats from 1902. Great.
Yeah, look at the frills on that jacket.
Look at those feathers and those gigantic hats.
Look at that bodice.
We hear somebody say,
rise up. Rise up, glorious fire, flickering friend, rise up, rise up, rise up.
And he taps the hat with a little magic wand, and it looks like we're at a magic show. A flame starts up from inside that hat, and the man, whose name is Miles, gets excited. Then he tells the magic flame to rise higher and higher. Then he gets kind of pissed, because, like, it's not going higher. I mean, he just said it should probably get higher. And then he starts smacking that thing more with his wand until the flames blaze up. We look over at his assistant, and she looks a bit annoyed, like herself, like at the flame or his skills or whatever. Miles tells the flame to back it up, but it isn't listening, so he starts patting it down. Then his wand catches on fire, so he tosses it over to his assistant, who grabs it with a little gasp and drops that shit on the ground because it's hot. The crowd of 1900s peasants doesn't look very impressed.
It's not a very big crowd either.
Nah, there's like five people in there or something. Miles introduces his beautiful assistant to the comatose crowd for a moment, and she sighs and runs backstage. On with the show, though, so Miles tells them, from the deadly fire comes bountiful life, Brandon. And he reaches into the hat and he pulls out a bouquet of flowers, which he raises up over his head. And then those flowers burst into flames, and Miles drops that shit to the ground and is all, ta-da! And then the curtains close, and the crowd barely even clap.
Yeah, because he sucks.
He sure does. Backstage, Miles yells at his assistant because he can't believe she walked out on the act. The assistant, her name is Greta, yells that her hands were on fire. And then Miles complains, oh, is that supposed to be my fault? And walks away from her. Greta follows him, telling him that he was supposed to be huge and that Zorbin taught her everything and how Miles was supposed to be even bigger than him. And she has an accent, Brandon. What kind of accent is it? Is it French?
I think so.
Okay. The two bust into a room, and the first thing we see is this big poster of Zorbin the Magnificent, Brandon, and it's just a dude in, like, a magician's outfit with his hands raised out, and it reminded me of Shandu. Remember Shandu?
I do. The shows we've watched have a lot of, like, magicians and ventriloquists and all these kind of stage acts.
Yeah, you're right.
And I enjoy them.
Yeah, me too. We get at least one magician episode per show, and it's great. Perfect.
Yeah.
Except this one's called Well Cooked Hams for some reason. Over at the wash bin, I guess. I don't know. Miles starts like dry heaving into it for some reason. I don't know what he's doing there. As the woman continues complaining about how he said 20% of the act was supposed to be hers, and it would be an improvement to when she was working with Zorbin, you know? That's why she is working with him. She yells out 20% for all this, and it's nothing, Brandon, because she has an accent.
Yes. Nothing.
Miles complains that maybe if she could do her job right, to which she's all, oh, I do my job just fine, but you're incompetent. If Zorban were here to see this shit, do you think he'd be happy? He'd slit his own throat. He would hate this shit.
In the 3 months since Zorban disappeared, you have taken his great magic act and turned it into a joke.
We used to play the palace. Now just look at us. It's ridiculous. Miles tells her, oh, there's nothing wrong with the act, but maybe if we had a little, change of personnel, that'd fix it. So Greta just stares at him and then asks, wait, are you firing me? And Miles tells her, yup. And she laughs, saying, well, in that case, you can't fire me because I quit. It's classic, Brandon. Yeah, classic.
That old chestnut.
Yeah. Here's my thing, Brandon. I know it's like 1920 or whatever, but like, don't quit. Just get fired. Then you get unemployment.
Yeah, I think in 1902, whenever this takes place, you probably just get thrown out a window.
You probably get dysentery or something. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't bother because you're going to die soon anyway.
Yeah. Miles tells her, nope, no way, girl. I fired you first. Get out of here. Greta threatens him, telling Miles he'll regret this, and leaves the room. Miles slumps down on his seat and looks a bit defeated when Greta, she walks right back in to grab something, and she looks over at Miles asking, wait, where did you get that? And we look over at Miles, who has like this big necklace on, like I guess they call it an amulet. It's got this, it's like this big necklace with like a circle on it. He tells Greta that Zorban gave it to him, but she calls bullshit. She tells him that amulet had been Zorban's family for like generations, and he treasured it. He didn't let anybody so much as touch it. Now, where did you get it? Miles is all, it appeared out of thin air. Greta points her finger at him, saying, you know where he is? Okay, I'm just all over the place here. Give me a second here. Get the emotions down. The emotions.
Take your time.
What was emotions from? Do you remember?
I was just thinking that as soon as you said it.
Yeah, it was something we made fun of.
Yeah. We didn't just invent it. We're not that clever.
I think it might have been Emeril Lagasse.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Playing with my emotions.
Yeah, yep, you're right. That's it.
Bam!
Bam! Like Emeril Lagasse. Every time that I'm playing Dead by Daylight and I hit a killer with a palette, I scream, bam, like Emeril Lagasse.
I love it.
Me too. That's my favorite part.
I miss Emeril. What's he doing these days? Is he still alive?
Yeah, I think so. Let me go look.
He's still cooking?
What is Emeril Lagasse doing now? Currently, Lagasse is the chef proprietor of restaurants in New Orleans, Las Vegas, Miramar Beach, and aboard Carnival Cruise Line. Wow.
Ooh.
He looks chunky to these days. Well, I mean, he was always kind of chunky, but he looks extra chunky.
Yeah, he's dipping into his own supply.
He's been munching on well-cooked hams, Brandon.
Three hams will surely fill him.
Greta points her finger at him, saying, so you know where he is. Where is he? And Miles tells her, well, the last time he came on stage, he walked off and never came back. So she stares at him for a few seconds, and then is all, wait a tick. You killed him. Miles nods his head, saying, yep, I killed him. I put a bullet in his brain. I poured poison in his brandy. I had an elephant step on his head.
Damn.
Greta's had enough of all this hubba, telling him that she's going to go to the police. She goes to walk away, and Miles asks, where's the body, huh? Where's your proof? So she looks back at him and says, Zorban was so good at disappearing, wasn't he? And with that, she slams the door closed and walks down the hall. Now with Miles, he looks down at that amulet, he touches it, and then gets up out of his seat. And he walks closer to the Zorban poster that's on the wall, asking, where's the magic, you know? He'll give anything to have that good magic shit. The camera pans over to a window, and we see the face of some old man with octagonal glasses on is looking on in. And there's like a dramatic like music sting that plays here, like we should be like, you know?
It's that old man!
It's an oldie! Yeah. Over with Greta, she's walking down the hall when that old man with them glasses pushes his hand out of the darkness saying, hello, Greta? I don't know. Why did I even put that in here? And with that, I guess we're back on the stage with now Miles. He's got two assistants now, and they're performing some magic here. They point over to Miles, who's a few feet away, who tells the audience to watch closely. And we see he's performing the same act again, saying, from deadly fire comes, and he reaches into a top hat on the pedestal, but he can't seem to find what he's looking for, so he stalls a bunch. Then says, vibrant, bountiful life, and he pulls out a flaming bouquet again. He drops that shit to the ground, asking his assistants to go get some water, and then laughs it off to the crowd. Then he starts stomping on them flowers, because he doesn't want like the stage to burn up. And we look out the crowd and see that there's like three people in total, and one of them is a suspicious old man-type character who starts stroking his cane like a weirdo. In the back room, Miles walks into his office with this giant Zorbo poster complaining about how his two assistants, who were right behind him, were behaving like monkeys, and they should have gestured more grandly. Yeah.
He's had these assistants for like 30 seconds now, and yeah. Even these assistants are like, dude, you suck.
Mm-hmm. They really are.
He's so bad at magic. Like,
why? Look, if you're this, it reminds me of when Bobcat Goldthwait was wanting to get into ventriloquism, and he was just so bad at it.
He was terrible at it. Like, at what point do you just go like, all right, I'm gonna do something else?
I don't know, man.
Because, like, he's not successful at it.
Nah. At some point, you got to be like, all right, this just isn't for me.
Yeah.
But no. I guess, you know what, then we wouldn't have this character, and I like it when he sucks at magic, because guess what? Miles kind of sucks.
That is true. I'm glad that he sucks.
The ladies apologize, saying that, well, we'll be better tomorrow night, right? But, you know, only if Miles is. And Miles sighs and tells the lady to leave, and that he's running out of tomorrow nights. The two ladies turn to leave, but they gasp because behind them is that suspicious old man with octagonal glasses on.
That guy's fucking everywhere.
Can't stop him. They didn't have security back then, okay?
They didn't have anything. They could just have Van Helsing-looking motherfuckers just wander into buildings, and you couldn't stop them.
No, you couldn't. They couldn't afford it, Brandon, okay? The man bids the ladies farewell as they leave, and he turns his attention to Miles, saying that he hopes he isn't disturbing him, and that his name is Cragen, Brandon.
Yeah.
Franz Cragen, in fact.
That sounds like a weird old guy name for sure.
It really does, doesn't it? Very fitting for an old weirdo with a German accent. Miles looks unamused, asking, yes, and Cragen steps closer to him, saying that he saw his show and calls him a darling boy, and he just wanted to let him know that it was very interesting. Miles thanks him with a little laugh and asks where this man was sitting, because Miles didn't even see him, and Cragen tells him that he was totally there, and he assures his darling he didn't miss a moment of it, because he's an illusionist himself and wants to invite Miles to see his own show. And Miles asks why he hasn't heard of him, if he's an illusionist, and Cragen's all, well, probably because he doesn't play in this part of the country very often, you know, that stuff. He likes to move around. Miles is well, I'm super busy, so, you know, you're gonna get on here. But Cragen tells him, yeah, I know, you should come anyway. I'm all sold out, and there's this last ticket right here, so you should come and see it. Come and see the magic! And he shoots out a little flame from his fingertip, and he walks away. We take a look at the flyer that he handed Miles, and it says, now appearing at the Ellingham Theatre, 1 week only, is Cragen, featuring the Box of Death. And we hear a loud clapping and stuff as we warp over to Cragen on the stage in a fancy blue outfit. And he tells the crowd, thanks for all the fabulous claps. He does, right? Costume design, Brandon. There we go.
Yeah, he looked like a werewolf when he was...
yeah.
When he showed up at Miles's place. But now that he's on stage, he looks like Liberace.
He kind of looked a little bit like Dr. Vink.
Yes.
Lots of hair everywhere, you know?
Yeah, he looked Vink-esque for sure.
Mm-hmm. So there's these claps going on from the crowd and stuff, and Cragen's all, up. Now it's time for the grand finale. Oh, that's French. My bad. What's German?
Grand finale.
Okay.
I don't know.
I can't think of a German accent right now. I could Google it. I could probably get a YouTube video going so I can get my practice in. I should have done that before we started recording, Brandon. I knew there was a bunch of accents going on here, and I didn't even try.
I'll be honest, Cortland. Whenever I think of, like, how to do a German accent, I just think of how Dr. Scratch and Sniff from the Animaniacs would say it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch a lot of Animaniacs, though.
Well, that's why you don't know.
That's it. That's it. Even though I thought about Animaniacs already once for this episode, but I don't remember why.
Interesting.
Oh, it was when Crypt Keeper was in that, like, generic French thing. I was like, that would be an Animaniacs.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Probably because it was. Okay, so he's on stage now. He tells the crowd, thanks for all the claps, but now it's time for the grand finale. Then we shall prove that death itself is but an illusion.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the infamous Box of Death.
And we see a curtain raise up and get a good look at the Box of Death, which is a coffin-shaped box with a bar holding it closed.
Yeah, it's a ham-shaped coffin.
Sure. Everybody claps because it looks so cool. And we see Miles is in the crowd looking on. Cragen tells us this box was commonly considered the most dangerous illusion of all. But tonight, specifically for them, Cragen is going to enter that box of death. Now we get a little tour of the box here. He goes up to the swords that are on the outsides of the box, being held up by like a metal pole, and he smacks them, saying that, as you can see, these are sharp swords, and they're poised to slash into the box. They're held together by a series of wires and ropes, and each one of them are connected to one safety hook, which is right here. Observe. I don't know why he says 1, 2, 3. He says 1, 2, 3, and his assistants release the safety hook, and all the swords swing down and into the box at once with a loud bang. Then he opens the box up, and we see that the swords have pierced through the box and are in the insides of the box, Brandon, where a person would be.
Right.
Now Gregan tells the crowd the secret of the box, grind the contents into turkey. And I don't know if that's what he says, because his accent is very thick and very fake, but he tells the crowd he's going to add another, even more dangerous wrinkle. The deadly sulfuric acid. Whoa.
Shit.
And we see his assistant bring out a jar of sulfuric acid. Gregan takes out a flower and he dunks it into the acid, which foams up. And then he pulls the flower out and the petals are all gone because they got eaten up by acid. And the crowd is all like,
so powerful it can pull the petals off a flower.
It's crazy. Yeah, just think if that touched human skin, Brandon. You'd be bones in no time.
It could pull your petals off in seconds.
Not the petals. Then Kragan takes that acid and he walks over to the box saying, man, I'd hate to see what would happen if all this deadly acid were to fall on top of the box when somebody was inside. And then he pours that jar of acid into a little bowl at the top of the box saying, well, anyway, that's what we call the box of death. He goes back to the center of the stage. He waves his hand and a candle suddenly gets lit. So he's magic, Brandon. We look at the crowd and they are eating this shit up. We check out the candle, which is placed just under the safety rope, like it's going to burn it away. Oh, my. Kragan takes off his coat and removes his shoes to make it more interesting, he says. I don't know how that makes it more interesting, but whatever.
Hey, I'm interested.
Oh, shit, he's taking off his shoes. Oh, God, this is a Whoa. Show.
Now this is real magic.
He's also going to add handcuffs. So, also, his assistant starts enclosing him in a potato sack, and she locks that shit up. We look over at the candle for a moment to see that it is still lit and is totally going to burn through that safety rope. Back outside the box, the assistant closes it up and then puts a wooden bar over it so that he can't get out. We look at the candle, and suddenly it's like halfway burned through the rope already. I don't know, it's a really quick candle. That rope is pretty thick too, so I feel like it would take like a good amount of time for it to burn, but this is TV, so it's fine.
Yeah, maybe it's time lapse.
Yeah, right.
He's just been chilling in that box for hours.
Can you imagine? They use like the thickest rope ever and they're like, all right, only 3 more hours until anything happens. I'll just get ready now.
He took his shoes off though. Isn't this interesting?
You're right. I'm very interested now. From inside the box, we hear Kragan complain that he thinks something's wrong here.
Oh no.
Something's probably very wrong. We see the box of death shake a bit, and it's all tense and stuff because it cuts to the candle that's just about burned away that entire rope, and Kragan gets more frantic as he calls for somebody to open that shit up. Until the rope snaps and those swords just jam into the box and Kragan starts screaming. The assistant opens that box up and the crowd screams because Kragan looks to be impaled by 6 whole swords and there's blood on his outfit and he's screaming a bunch and he drops to the ground and screams even more. Then the lights fade out and we hear Kragan implore his guests to remain in their seats. He's like, all right, shut up, everybody. It's fine.
Yeah, everyone screams, but no one does anything.
Oh, I know, right? I thought that too. Like, there's this big crowd of people. They just watch somebody, I mean, I guess get impaled by swords, and they're just like, oh my God, and they don't help at all.
No. They don't know whether this is real or not, but you'd have to assume it's real.
Right. It's 1905, okay? You have to know there's no such things as magic in this time period here, Brandon. Like, you gotta get up
like
and help.
Like how it changes year every time.
I know. We're in indescript 1900 something, perhaps.
Maybe 1800 something.
It could be 1800 something, right?
1897.
1899, the year of our Lord, Brandon. A spotlight flashes on, and Kragan is up on the stage calling out, ladies and gentlemen, we have presented to you an illusion of death. And the lights come on completely, and his assistant is up on stage, too. And we cut to the audience, and that are all like, oh, okay, this is fine now. And then everybody claps.
I was justified to just sit in my seat.
And Miles calls out bravo a few times. I didn't mention this in my notes, but there are a couple of times where it just cuts over to Miles, who is just like stroking his mustache.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's talk about Miles's mustache right now. So,
okay,
Miles is played by Billy Zane.
Yeah,
Billy Zane. I love Billy Zane Cortland.
Mm-hmm. He's great.
Yes. Billy Zane is fantastic. I always like when I see him in things, which is never enough, because Billy Zane should have been a megastar, and he was just a little bit of a star. But
yeah,
I love to see him, and I've never seen him with a mustache. And
oh, and how does this change things?
When I saw him on stage with the mustache at first, I was like, oh, that's cool. He's got a little mustache. And then I was waiting for him to take it off. I was waiting for it to be like a stage prop mustache, but no, he just has a mustache.
He grew this mustache specifically for this episode of Tales from the Crypt, Brandon.
Yeah. God bless him.
It's pretty glorious, yeah. With all that excitement over with, we warp to Cragen's office, where he's peeling an apple with a knife, all in one piece, like spinning it spiral style, whatever. He doesn't like apple skin, sure. And he's saying, I'm glad you enjoyed the show, my darling boy. And Miles is back there gushing about how he's never seen anything quite like it. And it was just more than just magic. It was an act. It was an event. Cragen's all, oh my God, thanks. But Miles means it. He had the audience in the palm of his hands. Miles takes a seat now, saying, you know what was most enthralling about the Box of Death is how realistic it seems. For an instance, the audience believes. And Cragen giggles. And Miles is like, no. I mean it. I mean, they thought you died.
Yes. They thought you died, and they were cool with it.
They were, very much so. He wants to know, though, what's the secret? And Cragen tells him that the box is very simple because there's a double door. You just push yourself back a couple of inches, and you're totally fine. And Miles asks, but wait, you were safe the whole time? And Cragen tells him, yup. Once the blades pop down, I just step between them. The false panel is on springs and goes back into place once I step out. Plus, there's makeup inside the burlap sack. Miles is just floored by how simple this is and thinks everything was amazing, right down to the holes in his outfit. And Cragen gets serious. You're saying, oh, no, those holes are real. They're from the acid. You know, it splashed up and hit my clothes. Miles asks, wait a second, the acid's real? And Cragen tells him, yeah, it's real. Miles tells him that he's just in awe of the performance and asks Cragen how he did it, even though he just told him, and to give him a little demonstration. Right. I mean, like, he explains it. He's like, yeah, I just step back. And he's like, whoa, how do you step back? Show me.
Yeah, I was surprised that he told them anyway. Like, magicians seem to kind of have their secrets, you know?
You remember in, like, the late 90s when that one magician was showing how all the Seekers performed and everybody hated him?
I fucking loved that show.
I remember. Yeah. That guy had, like, a mask on. You're like, who is he? And everybody didn't know. And he showed all the tricks and all the magicians were like, you bastard. That was great. Yeah. Great time to be alive. Cragen giggles here saying, nah, but it doesn't take long for him to get up and just start showing him anyway. He's like, no, okay.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. He's like, I love this trick. How do you do it? And he's like, oh, well, it's just a fake door and this other stuff. And then he's like, but what about the acid? And he's like, whoa, I can't tell you about the acid. This is a big thing. Like, I don't understand why he's like so forthcoming with the like sword part, which is that's the interesting part of the trick.
Yeah, like me, I don't care about the acid. It's just a little bowl of water. The acid part
just seems such a like a thrown on thing. Like, oh, and there's also a cup of acid that'll tip over.
It's a very much big afterthought, and that's how I felt about it too.
And sure, there's acid because why not?
Yeah, and acid, I guess. Why not? Sure.
We'll just put a little acid on for flavor.
That's where the well-cooked hams come in, Brandon. They're cooked in acid.
Oh, my goodness. The people are well-cooked. I get it.
Craig in here now, Brandon. So he's like, no. Okay, I'll do it. You know, and he gets all cloaked up in that sack. He throws the apple that he was peeling over at Miles, and he gets up and he stands up. And Miles here, he stands up too. He leans next to the desk as Cragen starts his performance. But there's this really cool shot of Miles leaning on the desk. And in the mirror on the desk, you can see his hand slowly grab the knife that Cragen was using to peel his apple. And I thought, Brandon, I was slick here seeing that. Like, oh, I see it in the mirror, but Cragen also sees it. Yeah. So I was like, oh, there goes. I'm not cool. It's all like, what are you doing, my darling? Because he calls him darling all the time.
He does.
It's a beautiful thing. I think I'm going to start calling people darling. Boy. My sweet, darling baby boy.
My bouncing baby boy, Billy Zane.
Miles is all like, I'm not doing nothing. And Cragen tells him to put that knife down. Well, the jig is up. So Miles pulls that knife from behind him. And he asks, what are you?
Yes, I got to stab you.
What do you do when the flame burns through the rope? That's what he wants to know. And Cragen gets super angry here, saying, so, you want to steal my magic trick, does yous? and Miles threatens him more with that knife. It gets up closer to him as Kragen explains that the Box of Death has been in his family for generations. So Miles tells him, oh, so you think the Box of Death is worth dying for then? Kragen raises his hands up and begs to not be stabbed with the knife, but Miles stabs him anyway. Then he takes a look at the knife saying, ta-da! This is great.
I love that.
As Kragen falls to the ground, and he fucking dies, Brandon.
Miles is so dumb.
I know.
He's like, that's it. I'm going to murder you to figure out how you do this trick. And he's like, dude, he was telling you.
I know. He knows how to do it.
He was telling you how to do it. Why did you stab him? And, like, stab him midway through him telling you how to do it.
Well, the thing about it is he already told him how to do it. He didn't need this, like, live demonstration. I don't get it. The trick, like, he's like, yeah, you just take one step back and then you're safe. And he's like, what? Show me. How do you do this step? Like, oh, it's so stupid.
Move backwards?
I can't possibly. Show me. Live demo right now. Hey there, everybody. Cortland here, your good buddy and your favorite magician's assistant. Thank you so much for joining us today, whether this is your first episode or you listen to everything we've got. We're so thankful for you spending some time with us. For all the latest and greatest bonus episodes, early release episodes, and so much more, you can become a patron at patreon.com/privateisland. We post new content multiple times a week, like our plot points, where Brandon and I discuss our favorite movies, but there's no notes. Just fun, hilarious conversations. If you can't get enough up all night, early release episodes go up the moment that I finish editing, so it's usually about 2 weeks early. Check it out and become a patron today. I'd like to take a moment to thank our current patrons, the Beths, Venice Witch, Tristan, Redemption, Lyle, Eddie, Ray, Rad Magical, Faith, and Shane, the Goths, Stephen, Matt, Aaron, Brittany, Sid, and Corey, the citizens of Carlsville, Sarah, Mr. Normal, Matt, Keith, Christy, Angela, and Meredith, and your boys and girls, Kathy, Farron, Bryce, and Brian. Thank you for your support, everybody. Brandon and I truly appreciate it. Up All Night is all over social media, and I hope you give us a follow. You can find us on Instagram at Up All Night Podcast, on Twitter at UAN Pod, on YouTube at Up All Night HA Podcast, and on TikTok at Private Island Presents. I plan on getting back to a more regular posting schedule on social media after taking a little bit of a vacation there, so new content is coming soon. You can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/PrivateIslandC, where I play video games live. It's a great place to interact with me. You can play some clips from Are You Afraid of the Dark and Goosebumps, or you can just say hello. Usually I'm playing World of Warcraft with my wife. I also do some Stardew Valley or Dead by Daylight. I'd like to take a moment to thank the Benevolent Badger for their work on the music for our show, aside from this theme dating start from Undertale, composed by Toby Fox. I'd also like to thank Brandon for his work on the artwork. Thank you so much for listening in, everybody. For now, I'll let you get back to the show, and I'll talk with you next week. Bye. Miles quickly gets down to the ground and pulls Kragen up and finishes stuffing him into that potato sack or whatever, telling Kragen that he's about to go for a little swim. We cut some time later where Miles' two assistants are walking into his office, where Miles is checking out his nails like he just got a manicure. The ladies tells him that they had a full house, and now they just can't believe it. Miles tells them that it's just so wonderful. When he was dying on stage, nobody wanted anything to do with it, but now that he's dying on stage, it's very different. But they're interrupted by a man with the oldest looking motion picture camera I have ever seen, Brandon. And he's all like, I hope I'm not disturbing you. My name is Thomas Miller, because he's got an accent too. And I can't tell you what an honor it is to meet you. He says, also, I have something here. I think you'll find it mighty interesting. Miles tells him, yeah, okay, but I got this performance to do. But Thomas here ain't taking no for an answer. So he tells him about how this thing here will make him loads of money. And he asks, do you know what this is? It's a moving picture camera. Miles brushes it off as a toy, and Thomas tells him, a toy? No way, Jose, this is our future, bro. Miles tells him, no. But Thomas gets real with him, saying, look, you can't be in two places at once, no matter how good a magician you are. But if he could take a little picture of his performance here and make a, I don't know, couple dozen copies, well, it could be shown in dozens of theaters around the country. No, the world. And make far more than $6 a night. Because this guy looks even more like Vink.
Yeah, suspicious that these men all look like Vink.
And you know what? The easiest way to disguise yourself, spoilers a bit, is to just throw a bunch of hair on, you know? I would never, though. Now that I'm bald, I found I'm beautiful.
Yeah. I don't need hair to become Chris Farley or anyone else.
Exactly. So now that there's potential profit involved, Miles is all, oh, you mean with that Lowell thing? And Thomas tells him, yup, I know what you're thinking. Sometimes modern technology outpaces our ability to see its potential. But sir, to stay ahead in this world, you need to keep your mind open. So I'll ask you one final question. Do you have an open mind? And the assistants look on in anticipation. And Miles asks, what do I gotta do? And Thomas explains that Miles will do just what he's doing, his normal performance, and allow him to photograph it so that he can sit back and watch the money and fame roll in. Miles stops for a sassy moment and then says, well, I can do that. And shakes Thomas's hand, saying, 30% for you and 70% for me. And Thomas tells Miles he's a real gentleman. With that, Brandon, it is showtime. And Miles is about to walk up on stage, but he stops to talk with his assistants, who thinks he's dressed up real great, because he is. He's in his little magician top hat and everything. He looks fabulous.
Yeah, he looks the part. He just sucks at everything else.
I know. I can't wait to see what happens next. Miles hears the crowd clapping and gets excited because that's what a real crowd should sound like. He asks the ladies if they checked the makeup and the blood and stuff in the burlap sack and, of course, you know, the trap door mechanism, which they say are all perfect. And Miles delightfully claps his hands, thinking this show is going to be dope. He even has a few touches of his own to add. So we warp backstage and we follow a familiar face, Brandon. It's Greta. I wonder what she's up to, you know?
Why is she here? She got fired. Or she quit.
Right. What the fuck's going on here? Anyway, it's showtime. So Miles heads up on stage and introduces himself to some applause. He explains that death is only an illusion and that tonight he's going to perform the most dangerous magic trick ever. While he's talking about this, we see a figure open up the springtrap wall of the box, and they're adding like a few blocks of wood to it. That's weird. And we look up and see, it's of course, our dearest friend Greta. On stage, the curtain rises up as Miles unveils the box of death, and he explains how there's like swords and shit, and there's gonna slice it in a box, and how there's this little container of acid for some reason. Also, the only thing holding all them knives and acid and crap in place is this little safety rope. And it's got a candle under it. It's going to sizzle it up. He takes off his fancy coat and top hat and heads on into the box while Thomas is cranking on that old-timey video camera. He commands his assistant to put him into those handcuffs and also to wrap him up in this potato sack and lock it up tight.
Yeah, so when he's doing this show, like when Kragen was doing it, he had stage presence and charisma. And he was explaining all these things in detail.
Yeah.
While Miles is doing it, he's rushing through it. He is sloppy. He's got no stage presence at all. He's just like, oh, and then I do this, and then the swords come down, and there's ropes, and there's acid. It's going to pour in my head. It's going to be crazy. Yeah. Like, it's just a way sloppier version of this whole thing.
It's great that they do that, because he could, like, fully explain it. I mean, we've already seen it as, you know, watching the episodes he has from the Crypt. So it's fun to see him just, like, suck at being a magician. Yeah. Even when he's stolen this trick from somebody and knows exactly what to do, he doesn't have that charisma, Brandon. He rolled low on charisma when he was conceived.
You can have the knowledge, but he doesn't have the talent.
Yeah.
And he never will.
Fuck no, he won't, Brandon.
Not if I have anything to say about it.
Okay, so they finish putting the handcuffs on, they lock him in the burlap sack, they close the door, they bar it with some wood, so he can't get out. This is all cut with Thomas just like rolling away with his camera. He's getting very into this, Brandon. He's like, yeah, this is going to be good stuff. With all the prep work done, we pop into the box and see Miles's hand reach up with a key, and he unlocks the top of the burlap sack. I said that wrong. I'm just going to keep it. Over with the candle, it's starting to burn into the rope, but back with Miles, he grabs the makeup from the bag, and he starts just slathering it all over his face. He goes to push the springtrap wall back, but it's not moving. But I want to talk about that makeup for a second, Brandon.
Yeah, because what is that makeup supposed to be?
It looks like what you would put on to like make fake scarring, but he puts it all over his face, which, I mean, maybe it's the acid that, you know, imitating the acid dropping out. He doesn't put any blood on his body, though. Like, I don't
know.
I don't get
it. He just slathers his face in oatmeal-looking stuff, and he's right. That's it.
I don't know. He's like, good enough. Here we go. I don't know.
He's not good at this.
Yeah, I think it just kind of, you know, reinforces the fact that he sucks. I don't know. It's the little things, Brandon, that we notice and we're like, yeah, what's up with that? So that springtrap wall, it's not moving here. So he tries a little harder now and he starts calling for help. And the rope continues sizzling away and he screams a bit more. He gets really panicked here calling for help. But that's like what you expect him to do, so you just assume nothing's wrong. And the box is all shaken and stuff as he begs somebody to open up this door. He's calling for the girls, but it's too late because the candle burns through the rope and the sword stab into him, and a little splash of acid gets dumped on his head.
Whoops.
Over with Thomas. He's still rolling. In the box, Miles begs for them to open up the door, so the ladies do, and Miles is inside there, being stabbed by six swords, and he's got a bit bloody, because he's complaining that just something went wrong. It's a sight to behold. The ladies pull on the rest of the rope to release the swords, and Miles screams and drops to his knees. He yells at the audience to get a doctor because his head is all burned up, and he calls out to the assistant saying,
"Girls, I'm dying here!"
And one of them screams. The audience then starts screaming, and Thomas just keeps rolling. He's like, eating this shit up. But up walks Greta, who wordlessly takes over the video camera. And Thomas thanks Greta, and he puts on his cloak, and we cut over to Miles. He's crawling on the stage, getting all burned up from that acid and whatnot, and a leg steps into frame. Miles looks up, and it's Thomas, who tells him, "I owe you one, Miles. Your version of the Box of Death is going to make us very rich. That is, Greta and me, and another friend of yours."
Who?
This is probably my favorite part, Brandon, because Thomas then starts spinning around and laughing, just like Linda Carter from the 70s Wonder Woman show, until it's revealed that Thomas was actually Old Man Kragen.
It's beautiful.
He fucking Wonder Woman's the shit out of this moment. It's gorgeous. But we're not done yet, Brandon, because Miles looks up in surprise, and Kragen tells him that he should have made sure he was dead before getting rid of Zabotti. "This is twice now you've made that same mistake." Then he starts spinning around and around again until he unleashes his final form with a ta-da! And Miles looks up at him asking,
"Zorbin?"
Whoa.
Zorbin's all, "Oh, Miles. Once a student, always a student. You're dismissed." Miles lets out one final shocked, "Zorbin?" And then he gets dismissed from life and fucking dies.
I said, "You're dismissed."
Over with Greta, she's still cranking that camera when up walks some random dude and he takes over for her so that she can go up on stage. And I don't know who this
man is.
What's
up with that?
I don't know. Why didn't he just do it in the first place?
Hey, come over here. Just take over this video camera. By the way, this is called a video camera. They're very new. And you spin this and then you can watch the shit on DVD.
She's like, "You ever play Resident Evil? Just pretend like you're just changing the flow of some water." And you'll be like, "Oh, yeah,
yes, I got you're it. Lifting up some shutter seven rooms away."
Zorbin calls out, "Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we call a finish." And he takes a bow, then introduces his lovely assistant, Greta, who's now in full magician assistant garb. Zorbin goes over to Miles' dead body and scoops up the amulet he was wearing and dramatically places it around his neck as Greta introduces Zorbin the Magnificent to the crowd, who all love this shit, even though they just saw a man die. They're clapping and standing up and hooting and hollering. Zorbin and Greta take a bow, and that's actually the end of the episode.
Oh, my.
It was pretty fun. I liked it.
Cortland, were you at any point of this episode surprised by any of these twists?
I was surprised when Kragen turned into Zorbin, because I kind of forgot about Zorbin, even though he's like front and center in a couple of shots and stuff and they talk about him. I don't know. My mind was just like, "Zor, huh? Whatever." I wouldn't call it a surprise, though, because we didn't. I think it would have made more sense if we got to watch Miles kill Zorbin, but we're like past that when the episode starts.
I feel like even though he did a fantastic job, Martin Sheen was perhaps too recognizable to play this role effectively. Yeah. Because he plays three different characters, and every time you see one of them, you're like, "Oh, that's Martin Sheen." So when you see the next character and it's Martin Sheen, you're like, "Hey, that's Martin Sheen too."
Mm-hmm.
If it was just some anonymous character actor, I feel like they would have been able to sink into the role a bit, and it actually would have been a shock to be like, "Wait, that random photographer with an accent is the same as that random magician with an accent?"
Well, you know what? To Martin Sheen's credit, he did do like a southern accent for Thomas the Movie Maker.
And he then did.
A German accent for Kragen, and then a not accent for Zorbin? I don't know.
He also just happens to have a recognizable voice.
He does. Yeah. No, you make a good point, though. I like seeing Martin Sheen in this role, but it was kind of like, "Hey, is that him?" And you're like, "Yeah, it was him." the whole time. Over with the Crypt Keeper, we hear him say, "Poor Miles." Just when he's ready to take the hack on the road, he ends up on the Silver Scream. And we pan up to see he's still in his little French outfit. And he says, "Still, I think he deserves another chance to get it right. You know what they say, if at first you don't succeed, die again." And he giggles. Then he tells us, "As for me, kiddies, I'm just about to go get ready. Got my passport, my itinerary, and my ticket for the Concorde. All I need now is my shots." And he lifts up a gun to his mouth and he shoots himself, which shoots through him and ricochets into the background, I guess. And he looks up saying, "Isn't traveling a blast?" And then he laughs us out of the episode, Brandon. That's the end of Well Cooked Hams.
Wow.
Now, Brandon, did you learn anything from Well Cooked Hams?
I learned not to fuck with Martin Sheen.
Yeah, he'll dump acid on your head.
And speaking of acid, acid just adds a little spice to everything you're doing.
Yes, it adds that element.
If things need a little pizzazz, add some acid.
Just a bowl of acid will do you, Brandon.
A little dollop of
acid. I learned if you're terrible at being a magician, don't be a magician.
Yeah. He was also terrible at everything else. Terrible at murder. Terrible at... I was going to say having a mustache, but no, that worked.
No, he pulls that off.
That worked pretty well for him. Two thumbs way up.
He's got the look. He just doesn't have talent.
Yeah. He should have been an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess he was, but
kind of was, yeah.
Yeah, got too big for his britches.
Now, Brandon, the moment we've all been waiting for, Well-Cooked Hams. We just shit on this episode name the entire episode through.
It's a bad name.
Can we think of a better name than Well-Cooked Hams? The answer may surprise you.
It turns out that that's perfect.
Bad hair day, Brandon. Boom.
Who?
Doesn't really matter.
Okay, I get you.
Great mustache day.
Great mustache day. Yes. The Prestige.
Yeah. Now you see me.
Moving on.
Now you don't.
Okay. The Illusionist.
Right. There we go. I mean, there's so many things. It could have just been like the magician's assistant. It could have been anything.
Yeah.
Very simple.
Literally anything. I feel like you couldn't describe this episode worse than Well-Cooked Hams.
Yeah,
it almost feels like a joke.
It kind of is a joke. It's like I mean, I'm glad that it is called Well-Cooked Hams because I think it's hilarious and we can make so many jokes about it. Brandon, shall we meet this cast? We have a couple of characters. We've got three whole characters. Well, first up, let's talk about Martin Sheen. He played Kragan and Thomas and Zorbin. He does it all. Not quite like Tim Curry though.
Yeah, so he's probably most famous for being Emilio Estevez's father. Gordon Bombay from the Mighty Ducks. That's his dad. Yeah. And some stuff.
Well, Martin here, he started things off in As the World Turns in 1956. Well, 1956 to 1970. He was in it for quite a while, I guess. I don't know. It's hard to say when like the IMDb puts that thing at the bottom, because this show, As the World Turns, went from 1956 to 2010, and he wasn't in all of those episodes. But he was in so many things. There's so many things. From the 60s and the 70s and the everythings is crazy. He's been around. He's in Apocalypse Now. 1979.
Have you seen that movie?
Nope. Sure haven't.
All right.
Alfred Hitchcock Presents. Brandy's in one episode. Maybe we'll see him again.
Oh, we'll definitely see him again then.
He was in Captain Planet and the Planeteers for 12 episodes.
Wow, that's kind of a lot.
I didn't expect that. I was like, it's going to be one. And then my eyes moved over and it was 12. And I was like, let's see what else. Project Elf, which is a TV movie on Elf. I didn't know they had one. From 1996. Dang, okay. I don't think anybody was really caring about Elf back in 1996.
Yeah, that's pretty late for an Elf project.
Right. Chicken Soup for the Soul. I could go for some chicken soup. More recently, Brandon, I guess, 2010, he was in Mass Effect 2, because he does a lot of voice work, too. You know, he's got a good voice going.
Yeah.
He played Uncle Ben in The Amazing Spider-Man.
He sure did.
Played the hell out of it until he died, yeah. More recently, Brandon, The Boxcar Children, Surprise Island, from 2018.
All right.
And his most recent credit is Grace and Frankie, where he must have been a main character, because it was in 94 episodes from 2015 to 2022, so...
No, he's a background character for 94 episodes. He's just always somewhere. He's drinking a coffee in the background.
I like Martin Sheen. He hasn't done anything ridiculous, has he? Is he? Is he?
As far as I know.
He's one of the America's most celebrated, colorful, and accomplished actors, according to IMDb.
Sure. He's colorful.
All right, next, we have Billy Zane, Brandon. He played Miles. And just, are you looking at his IMDb picture? Because he looks suave as hell.
He does. He doesn't have the mustache, but...
Uh-oh, somebody doesn't like Billy Zane.
He's squeaking in his sleep, hearing Billy Zane.
Do you, is there anything in particular that you know Billy Zane from?
Well, I mean, Titanic.
Yes, Titanic. Probably his biggest movie, I think. I mean, it's one of the biggest movies ever.
For sure.
He plays the villain, right?
Yeah, I think maybe that that maybe had a hand in the fact that he's not a superstar, because he was so good at playing a piece of fucking shit in that movie that mm-hmm. people were just like, no, I can't see Billy Zane as a good guy.
Damn. I, you know, on one hand, like, I hate when that happens to actors, because my key example is Joffrey from Game of Thrones. Like, people were like, you're a piece of shit, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, but he played the character so well because that's how the character was written. Like, that's just a testament to their acting abilities. It's unfair.
Yeah.
At least back then, they didn't have social media so that he didn't get bombarded on Twitter and shit about how garbage he is, and, you know, as a human.
I just have to say, Cortland, according to IMDb, Billy Zane was in a little movie called The Silence of the Hams, 1994.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit. Hell? Somebody else we covered was in, it's one of those parody movies, like Airplane.
Dom DeLuise, Billy Zane.
Ah, the A-Team.
What the fuck?
We should watch Silence of the Hams one time to see how awful it is.
I think so. Like, what is with Billy Zane and hams?
I don't know. He's like, I'm only taking the role if it has something to do with ham. Billy Zane started things off in a really big movie, Back to the Future, in 1985. I haven't seen Back to the Future in a while. We should watch that for a plot point sometime.
Sure.
He was in your favorite show ever made, Twin Peaks, Brandon.
Yeah, John Justice Wheeler. He's good.
Uh-huh. Titanic, probably his most known role. And he was in Zoolander. I know I watched Zoolander with you, but I don't remember anything. He was the voice of Ansem in Kingdom Hearts, Brandon. Oh, does he? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was in Kingdom Hearts, though. I played that game quite a bit. Oh, wow.
Only the first one?
Pretty cool. Yeah, only the first one.
Huh. Okay.
They couldn't afford Billy Zane.
They couldn't get the Zane back.
Nope. let's see what else we got here. Zoolander 2. Wait, they made a Zoolander 2?
Yes, they did.
Okay. Did you know that there's a Dead Rising movie called Dead Rising Endgame?
Nope.
Fun thing about Dead Rising, Brandon, you sold me on buying an Xbox 360 specifically so I could play Dead Rising.
And it was worth it.
It was. We had a lot of fun when we played the Xbox 360, Brandon. It's probably my favorite, like, internet age, like, new video game on the internet console system. Because it was, I think, Xbox Live. No, you had to pay for it. But it was just such a magical time. I remember them fondly.
That video game was, like, made for you.
I know, right? And I never played, like, any of the sequels. The most recent thing he was in, Brandon, Food Fight from 2024. So he is still working it. And that's great. Oh, he was in The Boys. He had 3 episodes of The Boys.
He's got 177 credits. Like, he may not be, you know, I can't even name a movie star. Who's a movie star now?
I don't know.
Oh, whatever. Yeah,
he's not Liam Neeson. No, who plays
he's
Thor?
Not, he may not be Leslie Nielsen, but he's working it.
I'm sure Leslie Nielsen's got a couple of credits. You know, I'm surprised we haven't seen him yet in the Tales from the Crypt episode.
Yeah, he would be great.
That's kind of weird, Brandon. Let's talk about our last character here, Miriam Doba Diabo. I'm sorry, Miriam
Diabo.
I'm sorry, Diabo. She played Greta. And she's been in like 50-something things. Started off 1982 with Extro. Never heard of it. Is there anything I've heard of in here, actually? Let me look.
I know her from only one thing.
Okay.
She was the Bond girl in the first Timothy Dalton Bond movie, The Living Daylights.
Oh. That makes sense because she's also in the Aha music video for The Living Daylights.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a good Bond movie. I
didn't know Aha had more than one song. She was in Murder, She Wrote and Leon the Pig Farmer, Brandon. That classic movie.
Damn, so she was in a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, she was in the acclaimed movie Out of Africa. I mean, sure, she played Lady Pouring Champagne at Hunting Party, but
I mean, that's still a credit.
That's still a credit.
She was in Dorian Gray. I didn't know they... I mean, it makes sense that they would make a Dorian Gray movie, but I don't think I've ever heard of anybody talk about it before. Must be good. Most recently, Brandon, she played in 2020's Last Words. So, relatively, she's still working it.
Good.
Yeah. All right, next episode, Brandon, you want to see what's next week?
Yeah, what do we got going on? What do we got cooking?
Okay, next week, season 5, episode 9 is called Creep Course.
See, now that sounds like a Tales from the Crypt episode title.
Right. For some reason, my mind immediately went to golf, which I've never played golf before. I've never watched golf before. But it's not golf, Brandon. It's like taking a course in college kind of thing. Because a bookworm is tricked by a jock and her devious Egyptology professor to be the virgin sacrifice to an ancient mummy in the teacher's basement.
Oh, shit.
So I guess, spoilers, she, like, gets sacrificed then?
We got a mummy in the basement episode.
I've never heard of a mummy in a basement episode before, Brandon.
Oh, come on.
Look, if the makeup for this mummy looks anything like the makeup from, what was that episode called? Mummy Dearest or Mummy Dust? I don't remember. What was it called? Mummy in the House?
I'm trying to think.
Help me out, Brandon.
It was a pun. I'm trying to think.
Don't tell mummy.
Yeah, mummy's got it going on. mummy knows best.
Yeah. Makeup looks anywhere near as good as that mummy from that children's television show, Goosebumps. And this episode's going to be good. Let's take a sneak peek at this cast, Brandon. We got Jeffrey Jones. I recognize him by face.
Ooh, okay.
Anthony Michael Hall.
All right.
Nina Simaz. Oh, boy. Simazco? I don't know.
No, never heard of her.
Okay. That's kind of it. That's next week, Brandon. We got mummies. You love mummies, right?
I do like mummies.
Mummies are fun. They're basically zombies. We haven't had a zombie episode in a while, Brandon. What's going on with you, Tales from the Crypt?
Oh, they'll bring back zombies soon.
They better. We got ghouls again. We better get zombies again. I expect zombies in no less than 5 more episodes. But Brandon, that's next week. We got mummies. I think I'm up all night, Brandon. I think I'm out of here.
All right. Well, I will be here next week to talk about Creep Course.
Yeah, Mummy's Alive, the episode. All right, Brandon, I'll talk to you later. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Ta-da.